Well, here we are again with you on this edition of Transforming Grace, which is brought to you on this broadcast every week at this hour. My name is Roger Pascoe. I'm speaking to you from the Institute for Biblical Preaching in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. And we're pleased to bring you these messages from week to week as we study through John's Gospel with you. We're finishing up the last message in the seven significant dialogues or significant conversations that Jesus had with other people in John's Gospel. And the last one that's recorded for us is in the last chapter of John chapter 21, as Jesus talks with Peter, commissioning him for his service, sending Peter out as one that he empowers to serve him by feeding Jesus' lambs, tending to his sheep, and feeding his sheep. That's the commission that Jesus gave to Peter. And it's the same authorization, it's the same mandate, it's the same mission that Jesus has given to us to take care of his sheep. And so we're going to finish this part of this message up today. And so let's read together from verse 19 of chapter 21 right through to the end of the chapter in verse 25. John 21, then, beginning at verse 19. This Jesus spoke, signifying by what death he, that is Peter, would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die. But he said, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Now let's pray. Lord, thank you for what has been written for our learning. We realize that if the apostles had written down everything that you had done, it would be far more than could be contained in the Bible. And yet they have selected, under the direction of your Holy Spirit, certain events and experiences and things that you said and did in order that we might know the truth. We thank you for what has been recorded by John so faithfully in this gospel, from which we have benefited as we study it from week to week. Help us now today to learn valuable lessons from these few verses, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This conversation between Jesus and Peter we have entitled Lessons in Christian Service. We find that the first lesson is that the pledge in serving the Lord is to love him. That's where it all begins. We cannot serve the Lord if we don't love him. We must be fully devoted to him. That means that we're not sidetracked by other interests. There are not other things that have a place in our heart, but that we have said to the Lord, "Lord, I want to fully serve you and glorify you in my life." The pledge in serving the Lord is to love him. And Jesus asks Peter in this passage three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And so despite our feeble loyalty, and we see that it manifested in the life of Peter, feeble loyalty, despite our feeble loyalty, Jesus still values our love. And despite our feeble loyalty, Jesus still wants our service. Isn't that a great encouragement to us today? We may fail the Lord. We may forget the Lord. Our love may grow cold towards the Lord, but he still wants to hear from us that we love him. He still values our love, and he draws us back, as he did Peter. He draws us back to himself, into full fellowship with him. He restores our souls when we fail him. He draws us back. He doesn't just write us off. He doesn't give up on us, as perhaps we might on someone else who is disloyal to us. But rather, he draws us back. He warms our hearts. He brings us back into relationship with himself through repentance and the forgiveness of sin, because he still values our love. And despite our feeble loyalty, Jesus still wants our service. There is a place for you in the service of God. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants your service. He wants you to feed his lambs, to shepherd his sheep, and to feed his sheep. So the first lesson in Christian service is that the pledge in serving the Lord is to love him, for Jesus still values our love, and Jesus still wants our service. Secondly, the second lesson that we learned last time is the purpose in serving the Lord is to glorify him. We are to glorify him when we're young, and we are to glorify him when we are old. Even though our abilities to serve the Lord change over time, due perhaps to ill health or mental ability or whatever it might be, circumstances change, our abilities change, but no matter where we are in the life cycle, whether we're young, middle-aged, or old, the purpose in serving the Lord is to glorify him. Make sure that if you're young today, you use your strength and your abilities and your independence, if you will, your ability to go here and go there and do this and do that. Make sure you use all of that for the glory of the Lord. And if you're older today and you're weak, you don't feel as competent as you used to be, perhaps you're even dependent upon others to care for you, and they take you where you don't really want to go, but you're fully dependent upon them, you can still glorify God. You can still serve the Lord in glorifying him in your response to your life circumstances, in the things that you say, and in your attitudes, and in your gratitude to the Lord for the life that he has given you. Life is a cycle from birth to death. The Bible tells us that there is a time to be born, there is a time to die. There are all kinds of circumstances that arise throughout the course of our life that change the way, perhaps, in which we can serve the Lord. But we can always serve the Lord. We can always glorify the Lord, whether it be in life or in death. That's a challenge, isn't it? To glorify the Lord in death. How do we point people to God in death? How do we make much of Christ even in death? Well, the Bible has examples, and certainly you might be able to even think of people that you know who have done just that, that in their latter years, when they're feeble and weak and sick and dependent upon others, and even in the moments of their death, they have glorified God by giving thanks to God for the life that they've lived, the life that he's given them in Christ, and by pointing others to him. Well, the third and last lesson then in Christian service is the pattern in serving the Lord is to follow him. The pledge in serving the Lord is to love him. The purpose in serving the Lord is to glorify him. And the pattern in serving the Lord is to follow him. And we find that in these verses that we have read today. When Jesus said, "Follow me," to Peter here in verse 19, he didn't mean it in the same way as he did before when he called the disciples at the beginning to follow him, as you find in Matthew 4 and verse 19, for example. But rather, he is affirming his personal call to Peter to discipleship and service as an apostle. Follow me. It's as though Jesus is saying to Peter, in your service for me, both in life and death, act as my follower ought to act. Well, how do we follow the Lord? How should we follow the Lord? We follow him, firstly, by responding to his call. Peter responded to Jesus' call on his life, not knowing, of course, that it would end in death by a cross. He didn't know what the end of his life would be, and neither do we know what the ends of our life may be. Just as Jesus had already died on the cross, so Peter would follow. And we can't anticipate the future. All we can do is follow as he leads. Isn't it good that we don't know the future? I've often thought about that. It's so good we don't know the future. If we knew some of the things that would occur in our life, we might despair and give up on God. But we don't know the future. And when those things do occur, that are heavy burdens that God allows us to pass through, he gives us the grace. He doesn't allow us to be tempted, the Bible says, beyond what we are able to bear. He gives us the grace. He gives us the strength. His Holy Spirit draws alongside of us and comforts us and encourages us. Isn't that good that we didn't know in advance what that might be? And isn't it good that God takes care of us through those circumstances? So we follow him by responding to his call. You need to respond to Jesus' call on your life. You see, when he calls you to salvation, he also calls you to service. There is no such thing as a Christian who does not serve. We need to respond to his call. And then secondly, we follow him by keeping our eyes on him. This is in verse 20. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Peter turned around and he looked at someone else. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. When we look at someone else, we can become distracted in what God has called us to do. Previously, Peter had turned his eyes away from the Lord and he sank in the water. You probably remember that event. Peter was walking on the water towards the Lord. And as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord and looked on the waves and saw that they were big and angry waves, he began to sink. And now again, Peter turns his eyes from the Lord and he looks at John. That's who's referred to here, the disciple whom Jesus loved. John frequently uses that expression to describe himself, for he's the one who is writing this gospel. And so instead of saying Peter turning around saw John following, he says Peter turning around saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. That's referring to himself. And so Peter turns now away from the Lord and looks at John. He still hadn't learned that lesson, had he? That our eyes need to be focused on the Lord. The minute we take our eyes off the Lord, we get away from him. We become occupied with other people and what they're doing or what they should be doing. And our focus is distorted. Our vision is blurred. And we become sidetracked in our service for the Lord. So we follow him by responding to his call. We follow Jesus by keeping our eyes on him. And we follow Jesus by minding our own business. This is verses 21 and 22. Peter's old weakness comes out again. And he says to Jesus in verse 21, well, what about this man? What about John? He wants Jesus to compare his future to John's. And so Peter's saying to the Lord, what are you expecting of him? Will he have the same call as me? You see, Jesus has just told Peter what his mission is, to feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus has just told Peter, you follow me. And now Peter's saying, well, what about John? What's he going to do? And Jesus rebukes him and says, you mind your own business. You follow me. That's effectively what Jesus says. He says to Peter, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Mind your own business. You follow me. I'll deal with John. I'll tell John what his role for me is going to be, what his service for me is going to be. You see, curiosity about John's future would distract Peter from his task. And Jesus calls us individually to serve him. He deals with each of us separately. It's just between you and the Lord, often in ways which others can't understand and in ways which others have no right to question how God uses you. God is the one who gives you spiritual gifts. God is the one who gives you life and breath and mental abilities, and he will use you in ways that are suited to the way he has made you. Some people will never fully understand what God has revealed only to you. Nobody else is authorized or qualified to comment on it because nobody else knows what God has revealed to you and what God has called you to do. Now, of course, if you're doing something that's contrary to the Word of God, then other people certainly have the right to bring that before you and to challenge you to change your life. But as long as we're walking in obedience to the Word of God, then how God uses us individually is a matter between us and the Lord. Personal obedience is an individual matter. God does not deal with us on a comparative basis. In other words, he doesn't compare us with other people. He doesn't say, well, you do the same work as John, Peter. No, he doesn't say that. He deals with us individually. He redeems us individually. He rebukes us individually. And he rewards us individually. And similarly, he sends us out into his service individually. The challenge given to one is not necessarily the same challenge given to another. Peter's challenge was simply this, follow me. And he didn't know what challenge Jesus would give John. Now, of course, all of our challenges in the end result are following Jesus, but how we carry that out is individual. Some people are more concerned about what others are doing than what they ought to be doing themselves. They want to know, what about this person? What about that person? And as a result, their own service for Christ is neglected. There is a time when questions are out of order and we need to act. So don't look over your shoulder to see how others are doing. Looking over your shoulder at others only slows you down, only puts you off course. If you're running a race at school or something like that, you can't be looking over your shoulder to see where the others are. You need to look straight ahead. And be sure you listen to exactly what God is saying to you. It's easy to misunderstand what God is saying sometimes. Peter evidently misunderstood and misinterpreted what Jesus was saying here about John, because evidently he must have told the other disciples and the message went out that Jesus had said that John would not die. But Jesus didn't say that John would not die. In verse 23, he said that if it was his will that John not die before his second coming, then that was none of Peter's business. In other words, Jesus was saying to Peter, whatever I have in store for John doesn't matter to you. Even if I decide that he stays alive and serves me until my second coming, what's that to you? You just follow me. Even if I do in John's life something spectacular, something never heard of before, like never dying, that is not anything to do with you. Your job, Peter, is to follow me and serve me the way that I have called you and commissioned you to serve me. Follow me was the primary point, not if I will that he remain till I come. And we must learn to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is not what God does with other people and how he uses them. The main thing is that we follow him in the way that he has called us and gifted us. Not to distort or misinterpret what God is saying, and certainly not to become distracted with what God is calling others to do. And the way we do that is to listen closely and be obedient to the Lord. God wants us to know that he can use us right where we are to serve him. Despite all of our faults, despite our past failures, despite the coldness of our souls from time to time and our lack of zeal for the Lord, we must not quit because of past failures. Those who have failed can be fully restored and commissioned to serve him. So don't quit because of past failures. Don't draw back because of questions about the future. God doesn't reveal his will for us in 5-year plans. So only live one day at a time in following and serving him. And don't slow down or stumble by comparing yourself to others. The time is too precious and too short to waste time on a fruitless task like that. We are to redeem the time, for the days are evil, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 and verse 16. We are to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom, Psalm 90 verse 12 says. All we need to remember is that true Christian service demands that our pledge in serving Christ is to love Him, that our purpose in serving Christ is to glorify Him, and that our pattern in serving Christ is to follow Him. Those are the lessons in Christian service that we learn from this wonderful little conversation that Jesus has with Peter here in John chapter 21. Now let me ask you then at the end of this broadcast, are you following these lessons in Christian service? Have you pledged yourself to serve the Lord because you love Him? Is that the underlying foundation of your service for the Lord, your love for the Lord? You say, well, what else could there be? What other foundation might there be? What other motivation might there be to serve the Lord other than our love for Him? Well, you may be serving the Lord out of a religious duty. You may be doing it to impress others. You may be doing it because you think in serving the Lord that will gain you salvation or somehow gain you favor with God or somehow get some blessing from the Lord that you want in your life. There are all kinds of other motivations for serving the Lord other than this basic and only true motivation, which is your love for the Lord. All those other motivations are wrong. None of them gain favor with God. If you're doing Christian service just because your church requires you to do it, or just because it makes you feel good, or just because it makes an impression upon other people and elevates you in their eyes, or some other motivation like that, that's not true Christian service at all. The only true foundation, the only true motivation for serving the Lord is our love for Him. So have you pledged yourself to serve the Lord because you love Him? And secondly, is your purpose in serving the Lord to glorify Him? What's your purpose? Why do you do it? Is there some other reason why you're engaged in Christian service other than to glorify God? Perhaps you're bringing glory to yourself. Perhaps you're doing it out of a guilty conscience or something like that. But our only purpose for serving the Lord must truly be to glorify Him, to point to Him, to show others what God has done in your life and how God is using you, to show others what a great God you serve, and so to draw others to Him. And then thirdly, is your pattern in serving Christ simply to follow Him? Are you living the way Jesus lived? Are you walking as Jesus walked? Are you imitating Him in your life? Are you seeking to follow Him, to carry on His mission in the world? Is Jesus the pattern for your life? And when others look at you, do they say, that person is following Jesus? When other people look at your life, do they see in the things that you do, in how you spend your time, in how you relate to other people, and all of those kinds of things, in your attitudes, your values, how you spend your money, and so forth, when they look at you and all of your life, do they say, the pattern for that person's life is Christ? They're following Him. That's what Jesus calls us to be His disciples. And discipleship is the most important thing in our life. For discipleship means we're following our master, we're following our leader, we're learning from our teacher, from our master, from our Lord, and we're being obedient to Him. That's what the Christian life and service is about. It's not about knowledge. Knowledge is good, but that's not what it's about. It's all about the heart and following Jesus. So I trust that that's what you're doing today. Let me encourage you to make your life patterned after Jesus' life and to follow Him with all of your heart, to serve Him, to be obedient to Him, to be submissive to His will, and in that way to glorify God. Well, may this be a blessing and an encouragement to you. and I look forward to being with you the next time on this broadcast of Transforming Grace.